Nigeria Anderson, and you're on UrbanBuzzMag.com. And I have Bathsheba Smithen with me on the line. She is a writer, educator, spoken word artist, singer, songwriter. Please, Bathsheba, jump on in, say hello, and if hello. I forgot anything, please let them know what's going on with you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, Nigeria. I'm glad to be on the line.
No worries, no worries. Let me just start with some background information that I received of you overcoming abandonment. And when the word says, I'll never leave nor forsake you, either you knew that or didn't know that, but the key word is overcoming abandonment. And tell me, what was that process like for you?
For a very long time growing up, I had this sense, this urging, and I guess as Bishop T.D. Jakes would say, a destiny calling, something just pulling me. And so I've always had this divine connection to God without necessarily knowing what it was all about. Mm-hmm. So I've always known that God was there for me. Mm-hmm. And I really understood his presence when people began leaving my life. Especially when my mother first walked away from me, and so I kind of was black sheep from the family, especially with my newfound walk in Christ when I started college, and she did not agree with a lot of what I believed in because of our upbringing. What we were taught was pretty much not sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. And so my mother distanced me from everyone else. There came a time when I was getting ready to graduate from graduate school that she just completely walked away from the entire family, and I was left to take care of my two teenage brothers. And that process was difficult for them, but having had gone through it myself for some years, developing that close relationship with God, understanding that God would never leave me or forsake me, it came very real to me. It wasn't just words on a page, because I was experiencing what it meant and what it felt to be alone at times, and knowing that God was still there for me. And so I was in a place to just constantly talk to God about how I felt. And I know someone asked me previously, how did you not walk away from God? And my response is how could I? Because he's been the one constant for me when other people have walked away.
And when you say that, and that's genuine, but when you say he's been the one constant, what was the introduction to you in relationship to Christ?
My first introduction, say when I was 14, I was going up to the altar, and this was during the time that I was in this storefront church and everything was not godly. So many things were wrong. And while I did not know what was right, I knew that what was happening felt wrong.
Right.
And so there was an urging in my spirit, and I went up to the altar. And at the time, I think they thought that I know they thought that I was going up for prayer, but God was speaking to me. And I went up to the altar to just pray to God, asking him, please, you know, I'm 14. I'm like, I don't want to go to hell. I want to know the truth. God, please show me the truth. That was my introduction to understanding more about God, that yearning in my heart to know more about who he was, because I knew about him based on what they talked about, but I didn't know him. And it wasn't until I stepped away from my upbringing and I went into college that I began to know more. Know more of God, because I don't think that we can fully know the full essence of God because he's so vast. I joined an Enlightened Gospel Choir at Virginia Tech and met a lot of godly people there. And I would say maybe within the last year, this past year, I've really gotten to know God through the love of people who know him. The world would know us by our love for one another. And that love of God, when you express it, that's how people know God. It's not necessarily you quoting a lot of scriptures. It's about that love that you exude. And so I've learned that from a really close friend of mine. Her name is Trinae Richardson. I actually participated in an organization she has called Real Women, and that organization embraces women, it supports them, and that has definitely helped me to understand a lot about the grace of God and how His grace is sufficient for us.
Girl, that was excellent. I like how you said the introduction was, you were pleading to God that I didn't want to go to hell and that He answered. And that's so important to me, to let people know that it's not eloquent prayers. You know, you could just basically just say, help me, Lord, and He responds. And that's so genuine. Now, hindsight 2020, in the struggle of what you had to go through, the Word of God says, I'll supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. In those moments where you were uncertain about your career, about school, about your next meal, can you share with us in some areas where you saw Him show up?
Wow, when there are so many instances where God showed up. I mean, mentors from when I was in middle school and high school, those people are still present in my life.
Amen.
I was not able to get to the place where I am right now today without God using those people to continuously support and uplift me. So even in this past year, people have contacted me. I've received checks in the mail, you know.
Wow.
During the times where I was down, God was constantly supplying my every need when I didn't have a place to go. During those, people wouldn't necessarily think about it, but when you're in college, there are breaks, and so during those breaks, because I couldn't go home, I would have friends who would say, you come home, and their parents would have me come over, and I became part of their family.
Amen.
So God was always supplying, and when I graduated from undergraduate school and I got into George Mason University for graduate school, I had no idea where I was going to, mm-hmm. And God opened the door for me to live with a friend of mine and her family, and He's been doing that since then.
Amen.
And now I'm established myself, and so I just praise God. I've definitely seen His hand move in my life, and when people talk about Jehovah Jireh and how He provides, I understand that fully.
Amen. Amen.
I've experienced it. And not to say that there aren't times where sometimes I'm a little worried, but I have to check myself and remind myself of what the Word says about how if He clothes the lilies of the field,
come on now,
feeds the sparrows, then He's going to feed me, and He has been. And because of the purpose that I have, God is always going to supply my need, as He will to those who serve Him, and even those people who don't necessarily know Him, He's supplying their needs unbeknownst to them, you know.
Amen. That's true. Now, you are you're talking about college. You have a bachelor's and a master's, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And I mean, you know, it's not in music and no easy task here. You're in biology and health, right?
Right.
Just talk about how did you get in that field? I mean, and also you're an artist, so it's not like you chose that as a curriculum, but you chose this as a curriculum. And being in your situation, you know, studying is an issue.
So when I decided to go into biology, I will say it was pretty much just vain. It was vanity. I really wanted to just make a lot of money. I told myself I wanted to become a doctor because I had no desire to be an educator.
Okay.
Although I knew that was my gifting.
Uh-huh.
I ran away from it because I felt like it wouldn't be lucrative. It wouldn't be a lucrative field. And that was where I was at that time. And so I decided to, and I also wanted to take on a challenge. I love challenges, and at the time, I wanted to really impress people with my intelligence. God, thank you for growth. So I said, I'll take on one of the most difficult subjects, or one of those subjects that most people think is difficult. And there were times when I was younger, I would just say that I wanted to be certain things in life just to impress people.
Right,
know?
Right.
I want to be a forensic So I would, you know, I knew the definition, not really thinking about what that career entails and that it would require that I'd have to work around dead people, and I'm nothing like that. And so I went into school, and I had one instance where I ended up having a terrible situation where I had taken some medication and it tore my stomach lining, and I ended up in the hospital. And while I was in the hospital, and this is my junior year in undergrad, I encountered, you know, the sicknesses that were present during that time in the hospital, and I found myself really overwhelmed with compassion. Uh-huh. And I'm the kind of person that I can really feel how people are feeling. Mm. We talk about empathizing. So I knew that that was not a field for me, because I don't think I'd be able to take that home with me every day, seeing people sick and being unable to, you know, really, really minister 24/7 in that capacity without, you know, taking it home with me every day. And so it's the difference between being in a hospital setting and healing in that capacity versus counseling people and healing with words. And and that resonates more with me, to heal with words, than it is for me to, you know, see people physically ailing. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, that was revelatory to me. I realized, okay, this is not something that I really want to do. I only went into this because I wanted to make some money. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't want to do away with all the education I had obtained, I decided, okay, you know, the best route is not medical school at this time. I'm trying to figure out what other fields line up with biology. And so I went into the direction of health management, systems management, with a concentration in health policy, thinking, you know, let me see how I can use words to change things.
Right.
Going to legislation. And I'm not sure if that's the end game for me, you mm-hmm, know, as mm-hmm. it stands right now. God is using me in various ways in the educational sector, and I ended up getting into education because I still had the mindset of understanding health issues for young people at the grassroots level by going into schools. And I ended up just loving what I had initially run away from.
Wow.
As teaching. And so I've been teaching ever since.
Amen, amen. All right, Bathsheba, now that we got to know a little bit about you, your strengths and your background, let's talk about Let's Get It Rockin'. You have your first music video out. Let's talk about your entry into the music. How did you get into wanting to now do poetry, music? Things that you're doing are so tremendous and impactful to our community. I'm glad to have you on the show. But let's talk about Let's Get It Rocking.
I'm excited to be on the show. Let's Get It. Well, I started off in music. I was rapping while I was in college, so then I kind of tapered off. But I've been writing poetry since sixth grade. And uh-huh. I was writing poetry as a means of escaping some of the situations that were occurring in my environment and in my household. So I've been writing poetry for a while. I never thought that I would have it as, you know, a means of ministry.
Mm.
So, well, 2009, I started writing books. I wrote my first book in 2009, and Who Cares What You Think, So What You Think, and that was born out of frustration in terms of what happens in the educational system with our young people, and mm-hmm. how I feel a lot of people don't completely understand them.
Right.
So I wrote that book, and I had a conversation with a friend at the time, and he was saying, if you really want people to get this message, you're going to have to probably go back into music, because a lot of people are not reading. They want to hear music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that started. I say, you know what, that's, you know, I thought about it for some time, and music is a universal language.
Right.
So I went right back into it, and Let's Get It Rocking is all about helping people to see their purpose and to rock in their purpose and move forward, and to kind of combat some of the ills that plague our society, and also those negative images and that negative content that's out there with positivity. Let's Get It Rocking is a positive song. It's about, you know, being all of who you have been created to be.
Right, and we and our kids definitely need to hear that. There's so much going on, especially affecting the quality of life. And now I have it. I know what I'm picking up. I'm picking up from you is like the anointing that's on you, the mantle, is to destroy the Herod spirit. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, it's something, something. But now, you know, just speaking with you, I can feel it. You know, familiar with Herod, who was killing all the firstborn and, you know, trying to kill Jesus in the midst of that. I think that your mantle is to help destroy that yoke and definitely be that influence and impact on our youth, because they are...
That's good.
Yeah, they're overwhelmed and bombarded with the false quality of life. And there was a time where quality of life meant everything. You couldn't just, you know, we was at a place where you couldn't just fire a woman because she was pregnant and couldn't work because you were disturbing her quality of life. You couldn't stop someone who did their time in jail because you stopped their quality of life. And so now that has been perverted. I'll just go ahead and say it. Today, the issues that's plaguing the media, same-sex marriage, the Confederate flag, you know, you can't use a selfie stick at Disney World, you know, Trump's ignorance running around on media, starting trouble. Just it's so much, but the core, that to me, that's the surface, but people aren't touching the core. And the core is what you're doing, addressing our youth, because that's where it starts. And it starts with maybe the broken home, the parents who got divorced, the father who's buying his daughter and son guns for their 16th birthday present. We need more people like you out there impacting our youth and changing this cycle. And that's what you're doing. And that's what I'm excited about, because we have to change the cycle. And whether you're on mass media or not, and I'm thankful that the Urban Buzz will definitely flush this out into our sister medias and our followers, it's necessary and needed for this type of information to get out. We need all your social media information as well. But you have another song too. I mean, you did music, you got books, you're speaking here and there. I mean, how do you balance?
The grace of God. you know, I go in the direction of purpose, and so wherever God calls me, that's the direction I head in. And so, you know, I just last night I was talking to God, and God, you know, I said, God, I need some help.
Ow! You sound like me.
He said, I am your help. He said, I am your help. So I said, well, I need strength, you know, strength to, you know, keep going and to be able to juggle everything, because I'm also, you know, a single mom and mm-hmm. my daughter and everything else. And so it can be a little trying at times, but that is not something that's going to stop me, because I have, you know, there are people who are waiting to receive whatever it is that God has deposited within me.
Absolutely.
So I do believe that at the base, like what you were saying, of a lot of our issues, I believe is identity. You know, with all that's happening in the country and all that's happening in the world, a lot of people are wrestling with identity, you know, masquerading hurt and pain as their identities, and it's not.
Right.
So we need to begin to address those issues and be careful not to mistake our freedom for doing or getting whatever we want, that some of the very things we want for ourselves are a result of bondage we've previously experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important, because sometimes we think we want certain things for ourselves, and we're not even true. We're not presenting our true authentic self. So.
Right. I mean, and self-identity is crucial. It's very crucial. I mean, all of these things, the violence, All of that is just basically sin being perpetuated. And it's not one thing or the other. It's just that people, you know, I had an interview before, and I was talking about racism and hate. And the bottom line is you have to repent. That's it. That's it. You have to turn away from that and turn to Jesus. That's it. It's just a turn. It's a decision. It's a choice. I'm almost excited about what happened today about the same sex marriage, because I was saying, you know, a friend of mine called and was like, listen, what do you think? I'm excited. You know why I'm excited? Because people have to learn how to start making right decisions. That's it. It's not about one specific thing. It's not about, I mean, it's the same thing as making marijuana legal. It's the same thing as being able to go to the liquor store and buy alcohol, get drunk, drive, and kill somebody. So it's not one focus on one thing. That's just the media doing that. The bottom line is people have to make the right choice for their life. But the bottom line is just making choices. Oh my goodness. This is like you're my friend and we're on a phone call. I got to cut this out. Crazy for no reason. All right. You're an entrepreneur as well. Founder of Cage Free Voices. Tell us about that.
Cage Free Voices is it's an entertainment company, pretty much educational entertainment company that seeks to assist and educate youth and young adults who struggle with self-image and identity through music, conferences, seminars, pretty much unlocking human potential.
Amen. Amen. Talk about that. Talk about that. How do you turn the light on, you know, turn that bright light on in someone's brain to really realize their potential? How do you do that?
I think there's no, I think all people have various locks, if you were to create an analogy. And so I wouldn't be able to say that there's this one key.
Right.
You know, there's one key that unlocks everything. I'd say that you would have to fashion and create certain keys for certain people, because everybody, certain things unlock different people. But I do know at the core is being honest with people about letting people know that they have to be honest with themselves.
Right.
Helping people get to the point where they are honest with themselves by asking questions and identifying certain challenges that they may be up against and within themselves, because I believe that most of us, the things that hold us back are within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that came, I was listening to Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he was talking about that. He was saying the one thing that holds us all back is ourselves.
Right.
So help people to overcome that and to build confidence. I work in adult education right now, and so I've seen a lot of people turn around just by being empowered through communication and building up their confidence and talking to them and allowing them to see that they do have purpose, they do have reason for being here, because a lot of people feel like they don't, and they don't necessarily communicate that to others, but deep down inside they feel like they cannot overcome certain obstacles or pursue their dreams because maybe they had a whole lot of setbacks initially. So I know at the base of it is helping people build their confidence.
Right. And I mean, that's a challenge all in itself, because you have to get through anger and rebellion. Can you speak about that?
So getting through, that's in building relationships with people and allowing people to see that regardless of the decisions they make, and that's one of the things I wanted to say about the same-sex marriage Supreme Court just ruled on is, you know, I love you despite our differences. I love you despite your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So when I work with young people, when I work with adults, a lot of them sometimes they think, you know, oh, if I got upset about something in class, or I don't agree with everything you said, then maybe you might not receive me. And for them to constantly see that you receive them, you're putting forth effort to build relationship with them, helps them to bring down walls and to begin talking to you about what really bothers them, and that opens up opportunity for you to help build confidence.
Right. I mean, the Bible says, hate the sin, but love the sinner. And so we really have to get that in our brain. It's not the person. It's the behavior that needs to correction. And basically, that's really it. And that's right. We have to accept them, embrace them. You know, Luke 22:32 says, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he said, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you have been strengthened, that you turn and strengthen your brothers. And so someone like yourself who's been through situations and challenges and overcame obstacles, for you to be doing what you're doing, you are truly the perfect example of, after you've been strengthened, return and strengthening your brothers and sisters. And that's just really a blessing. And that's how we grow as a society. That's how we increase the quality of life. You got Get It Rocking, and we're loving it. Would it be okay if I attach the video to this?
Absolutely. And I'll be releasing this single called Insanity.
Okay.
July 31st. It'll be available on iTunes, Amazon.
How do people book you or find you to come out to their event? I encourage you guys. I'm going to put the video, but definitely go to our YouTube page. Give your social media information.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, at Sheba Neo Rock. That's S-H-E-B as in boy, A-N-E-O-R-O-C-K, Sheba Neo Rock. And you can also find out more about Cage Free Voices at cagefreevoices.com.
Okay. I appreciate you coming through and sharing with us. And I'm looking forward to catching you live and direct.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed myself.
All right. And listen, as we say here, once a key player, always a key player. So always feel free to, when you're doing something else, or I already see that you're going to some high places. So just hold on. Don't get distracted by the enemy. And keep pressing, because your assignment is huge. And I will be praying for you, for real.
Praise God. July 11th, I'll be in Arlington at Bus Boys and Poets for an event being held by Victory Christian Ministries International. I'll be on my social media, and that's constantly updated. You can also check out my Cage Free Voices website or BathshebaSmithson.com.
All right. Well, thank you again for stopping by. I really appreciate you. And just please, just let God continue to use you, because you're definitely operating in your purpose.
Well, you do the same.
I shall.